Our scripture reading today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, who can give us new life. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would move among us today, that we would hear and receive the word that you have for us. Amen. Amen. In Scripture, when we worship God, it's always centered around the house of God. In the Psalms, they speak about joy and gladness. We go up to the house of the Lord. And we often greet one another when we come into this place and we say, what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. That we echo the psalmist. But even before there was a physical location, the house of the Lord was regarded as any place where the presence of the Lord resided and where his people worshipped. In this way, the house of the Lord and worship to the Lord, it can't be separated. And then Paul writes the same idea in Ephesians 2, that the house of the Lord is wherever his Spirit rests, and so wherever his people are. And this limitless Spirit of the Lord has broken down these boundaries of a tabernacle or a curtain or a temple or anything else. And so we live within the presence of God, but here we're our most exposed, we're our most vulnerable, because worship entails giving ourselves to him. Not really because he needs us, but because we need him. And so when we come to the house of the Lord, when this is where we live, it's in this presence we constantly are that we can be true. God entrusted the care of his house and the guidance of worship to the priesthood. But in 1 Samuel, we find that the priesthood failed. That God condemned the household of Eli, a passive priest, and his corrupt sons, because they defiled the temple and they defiled worship. They weren't faithful to the house that was entrusted to them. It took advantage of God's people, and they treated worship with contempt. And God promised that this unfaithful line of Eli, it would end. But in the same time, he promised that he would build up another house, and it would be a sure house, and a faithful priest would preside over it. And then God picked up this enduring house again. We spoke to David when the king wanted to build God a great house in which God could dwell. But God said that he would build a house for David. And one of David's descendants would be over this sure house. And this one was going to have an eternal priesthood and will reign from an eternal throne. So when we come into the house of the Lord, when we live in the presence of God, there's nothing hidden. Maybe that's why we come and we are cautious or guarded or sometimes don't want to come at all. But the psalmist knew this inability to be hidden when he wrote that coming to the house of the Lord was a joy. And Paul knew when he wrote Ephesians, the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. There is no escaping the presence of the Lord. And we see in Eli and his sons that there's no place that God doesn't see. And if he's seen the worst of our sin and the greatest of our needs, and he still draws near, then maybe his presence isn't the riskiest place to be, but the safest. And if his response to unfaithfulness was a promise of greater faithfulness, that perhaps when I am wavering, there's his rock of confidence that holds firm when I'm not. And it's this matter of greater faithfulness in the house of the Lord that's the center of this passage. Now, the author is already, in the first couple of chapters of Hebrew, has established the first greater than, which y'all might remember the greater than is the formula of Hebrews. That Jesus is greater than the mediators of the old revelation, greater than angels. And he's on his way to establishing a new covenant established in Jesus' blood is greater than the old. But on the way, he pauses here for a second greater than. That Jesus' faithfulness is greater than Moses'. And this was an inconceivable proposal in first century Judaism. But it's a comparison that's necessary then, it's necessary now, for us to really understand who Jesus is and what his faithfulness means for us. Not only who Jesus is, but who we are, our identity and our calling in light of him. Because we're offered, as the author says in chapter 2, so great a salvation. Salvation through Christ greater than fill in the blank. Because Jesus is an apostle means that he's been sent. And Jesus is a high priest means he's been sent for a purpose. And like Moses, he has a role to play in God's house. As the author says something that is unimaginable. That Jesus has a greater role in God's plan than even Moses did. A first century Jew held Moses in the highest esteem, much higher than we would hold him. And they would have recognized that the author is quoting another passage of scripture in verse 2, that Moses was faithful in all of God's house. So they would have known the story that went with it. It's quoted from Numbers, an incident between Moses and his siblings. Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, they were the ones that God chose to lead the people out of slavery into the promised land. They had gifts and roles that complemented each other. Moses was a prophetess, and she praised the name of the Lord. Aaron was a high priest that led in worship in the tabernacle of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Moses was the shepherd and the prophet that revealed the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
They're a family of worshipers and they're a family of leaders. But Miriam and Aaron made a mistake when it came to recognizing Moses' call and his role. According to them, Moses married an unsuitable woman, so they took him aside to chastise his choice. And it is then that God takes Miriam and Aaron aside. And maybe it's because those closest to us really have the greatest insight to the worst in us. That Miriam and Aaron felt like they had the place to correct what they perceived as a wayward brother. But God took them aside for a scolding of their own. And it's in a divine tongue lashing that we find that what Aaron and Miriam said to Moses didn't reveal much about him, but a great deal about them. So what he said, we read now in Hebrews. God said, there are prophets, but none like Moses. With Moses, God spoke face to face. Moses alone had seen God's form. Moses was chosen to know God in a way that no one else did until the incarnate Christ. The Jewish people saw Moses as the first and the greatest prophet. They spoke the law of God and the law of Moses interchangeably. But you and I aren't quite as likely to regard Moses in such high regard. We tend to look at him a little bit more like Miriam and Aaron did. Because we recall his tantrum at Meribah that caused him a death on the wrong side of the Jordan River when he challenged God's command in Numbers 20. We might remember that the disciple John said in this first chapter of John, the law was given through Moses, but grace and peace through Jesus Christ. For us, Moses is bad cop, Jesus is good. And maybe if we had a chance, we'd take him out for a little scolding too. Because Moses gave us the law, it was a burden too heavy to bear, a standard too high to meet. But Jesus gave us grace and peace, a burden that is light, he told us, and a yoke that is easy. For a Christian, we know that there is no comparison to Jesus, and if there were, it wouldn't be Moses. But we forget that God also said of Moses in Numbers 12 that he is entrusted with all of my house. And for yesterday's first century Jews, there was no one that God spoke of more highly. No one that God used more powerfully than the one who walked before the nation out of slavery through the Red Sea, across the wilderness, and to the promised land. Moses was the standard to which everything else was compared. And now we see that Moses may have been the old standard, mm-hmm. but Christ, the apostle and the high priest, is someone completely unique. Mm-hmm. He comes and he builds a new house, mm-hmm. and he presides over it. Where Moses was a servant in it, Jesus is the son over it. And Jesus as a son, someone more faithful than any. Mm-hmm. We have here the Son of God, and what we've already said in Hebrews is the Son of God is fully divine, fully human. Was able to be faithful in a way that we were never able to. Because we see that even David failed, the kingdom's promise, the priesthood mm-hmm. failed, Moses failed. But we needed someone who would be faithful and we weren't. As a son, a God's son who was divine, he could take on the way we wavered, he would hold firm. But as a son, he would die in our place, he would be resurrected. He would bring us to eternal life. For Moses couldn't cross the Jordan, Jesus would take us to the throne of his heavenly Father. And we have here a great offering from God through his Son that stands over our house. That we are his house if we hold firm the confidence. And we heard from Rob in chapter 2 that the household of God entails brothers and sisters. Moses, our brother. We, his brothers and sisters. He's heavenly partners and a heavenly calling, taking us home. That we have this offering, something sure, something solid, a solid rock, the hymn says, to hold on to when we're unsure, when we're hesitating. And we find that the house that he has built is one where we can live in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. That if he is offering everything that we lack, if he stands firm, we waver. If he is faithful when we aren't, then it's the safest place that we can be. Let's pray together. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the witnesses that have gone before us, for the great household you have built, through the centuries and through the world. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to hold tight to you, Lord. The sureness that you are when we waver. Amen.